The beginning is really tough. Okay. Koyva Levi, Shekibu Sadim Yisrael. A Koyva Levi received the field from Yisrael. Now, they're the sharecroppers. Geshem Shechokim B'chulin, just like they divide up the chulin, obviously in percentages, V'kach Chokim B'truma, so to the trumas divide up, according to percentage, is responsible for the truma from their percentage of the field. Well, Rabbi Lezer Omer HaMaiser Shelohen, Sham Naskein Bo. The sharecroppers receive the Maiser of the entire field, or the truma of the entire field, whatever the case may be, because the understanding is when you take a sharecropper into your field, you're going to give him all the trumas and maisers, if he's a Kohen or Levi, give him all the trumas and maisers which your field produces. Mesivin Rabboni Rabbi Lezer. So the rabbis asked Rabbi Lezer, Bameh Konu? What is that? You need a Kenyan? Where's the contractual obligation which demands of the owner to give the trumas and maisers to the sharecropper? Armalem, so they said to him, Einatem modim li, don't you concede to me, shim hitna lo beinehem, that if there was an explicit condition that the sharecropper made that he should receive all the trumas and maisers, that in that case we say, and here the Grua changes the girsa, or he brings out a girsa change similar to the Grua, she'ein chokim b'maisrus, that they don't divide the maaser, i.e. all the maasers go to the sharecropper, right? Which is, if they specified such.
Because the language here says she'ein chokim b'maisrus, and I thought that meant it does go to the sharecropper.
Oh, well, that word chokim wouldn't work in that context, right? It would have to be then she'hu mekabels kol ha'maasers, right? So that's why the girl changes it to the disciple's son changes it to she'ein chokim b'maisrus. Afilu hitnu b'me'akonu, even they made an explicit condition, where's the transaction? So how does it work? Stama nase, rather the way it works is that even though they didn't as specified, it is implicitly as if it says by me Be'omer, but it should be Ke'omer. Do you have Be'omer or Ke'omer? Be'omer, yeah, it should be Ke'omer. Stamana said Ke'omer, it's as if he says, Tolish min akarka, Tolish min akarka, when you uproot or harvest the stuff from the ground, shetikna loch masrois, if you should acquire its maisers. In other words, as if the owner is saying to the sharecropper, when you uproot the stuff from the ground, you should acquire the trumas of maisers.
So here, we're right here.
I'm our way. So I'm...
What's the problem with an explicit agreement for the sharecropper?
No, an explicit agreement, everybody agrees. This is what we're bringing up to speed. We're talking about a sharecropper here who was a Kohen or a Levi. So the Mishnah said that the sharecropper gets the in Machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan. Rabbi Lezer says that even if not specified, the Kohen or Levi sharecropper gets all the trumas and maasers from the entire field, not just from his percentage. Rabbanan hold only if they specify that; otherwise, he only gets to take the trumas and maasers from his percentage of the field, not from the rest of the field which belongs to the owner. So Rabbi Lezer has said that the reason why this is, according to him, is that if you made an explicit condition, how does that work? So we say explicit condition is as if you said, you're saying to the fellow, to the Kohen Levi sharecropper, when you harvest, because you're harvesting the entire field, as you harvest each bunch, right, so then you should acquire for yourself the trumas and maasers, right? So Rabbi Lezer holds that that works even when it's not explicit, but even when it's only implicit. Is that difficult?
No, it's just like... The way that it's presented in terms of the language,
yeah.
I would have thought that the explicit agreement is something, what makes it effective is something beyond the letter. It just, the presentation implies that there's something more than just the words that are presented there, and that's the force that makes an explicit agreement effective. So therefore, when you say...
You know, why don't you wait a minute? Wait a minute. Let's see what the Gemara does with here. Amrule, it should be, it says here Amrule, but it should be Amrule. Ufna leis... It's so weird. It's a weird expression. Ufna leislun ufna. A wheel does not have a wheel. Okay? A wheel doesn't... Ufna is an ofa as a wheel. Leisli ufna doesn't have another wheel. Now, basically, it means that... we don't say a double migo. That's what you would say in the Bavli. In other words, you want to say, that even if he didn't specify as such, even the owner did not specify that he's given the sharecropper or the entire Trumas and Maisers, it's as if he specified it. So he's saying that's like making a double wheel. It's like making a wheel within a wheel, meaning that you want to make, when something is not specified, to assume that it is implicit, nobody gives you permission to do so. Okay, that's really what they're saying. The reason why it's a wheel within a wheel is because even if you want to be makne to the sharecropper, the Trumas and Maisers, you have to resort to a legal stratagem here, right? What's the legal stratagem? Tell them, well, someday when you harvest it with the understanding that each and everything that you harvest is in order that you should acquire the Trumas and Maisers. That in and of itself is not outright. That's a stratagem which is employed in order to get the Trumas and Maisers to belong to the Kohen or to the Levi, who is the sharecropper. To tell a person that, and to say that even if that's not implicit, that's explicit, even if it's not explicit, that's implicit, that's too large a step. That's like a wheel within a wheel, a strategy and a strategy, we don't graft that on. If you did specify, fine, but if to just say it's implicit, that's a wheel on a wheel, we don't graft wheels on wheels. And that's, the Gemara expounds on this now. Leis l'stama, we do not assume that it's implicit. Stama means that even if not specified. Do you have the show in the place? Leis l'stama, you have the exact line. Leis l'stam, we do not assume that it automatically, nasak omer lo tokomer, that it's as if you said to him, klosh min hakarka zeh, when you, the sharecropper, harvest the ground, then you should acquire one out of ten, in other words, the miser for yourself. That, unless it's specified, it's not assumed. Period. Tani, we learned. This is obvious, we're about to learn now. Kohen mi kohen, if the owners are kohen, and the sharecroppers are kohen. Levi mi levi, if the owners are levi, and the sharecroppers are levi. Yisrael mi Yisrael, the owners are Yisrael, and the sharecroppers are Yisrael. Chokin l'maisos, they divided up proportionally. Of course, because nobody has any, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer just said where it's a kohen or levi is a sharecropper, so it's assumed that underlying the agreement is that the kohen or levi is going to get the Trumas and Maisers, but that's only where the sharecropper is a Kohen and the owner is Yisrael. Now where they're both of the same stature, both Kohen and both Levim and both Yisraelim, right? That's what Gemara says here. Lo nitzcho, lemin nitzcho, to coin to whom did I have to specify? This is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Lozer said, Miser Shalahem, that we are the sharecroppers of Kohen Levi. The Miser belongs to the Kohen Levi. Shalman asked him, Bo, because they came on that precondition, that assumption. Modu hu hacha. He could see the point where they're both of the same stature, both Kohanim, both Levim, both Israelim. Shein chokim and Misers, that they divide up the Misers proportionally based on the percentage of the field which each one has. Okay? Period. Yisrael Shekibel Sadem Mikohen. Yisrael accepted a field from a Kohen. He is the sharecropper, okay? Yisrael is sharecropping from a Kohen. On my low, so the sharecropper says to the owner, Amanasha you are Maisers Shali. He wants the Miser to be his. Yisrael wants to get the Maisers. Don't ask he wants to do with it. That's a grandson who's a Kohen, he wants to give it to it. Oh, Shaloch! Or they should be yours, says I'll give all the mitzvahs to you after you are a Kohen. Oh, Shaliv is Shaloch, or we should split them up percentage-wise. All these deals are mutter. There's no problem with any of that. Here's where our problems begin. Kohen Shekibel Sodom Yisrael, a Kohen was the sharecropper and from Yisrael. Amar lo, and now the owner says to the sharecropper. Okay, the Yisrael says the Kohen. Amanashu Amaisa Shali Mutar. If the Kohen, the owner of the Yisrael, don't ask me why he wants the Maisers chveis. He says, I want to keep the Maisers to me. I don't want to give them to you. That's okay. Shelcha asur. If the owner says to the Kohen, I want to give you the Maisers, that's forbidden. Why is that? Because he's being porea chovot, as if he's paying the sharecropper with the truma, which is not allowed to do, of course. That's absolutely forbidden. That's called Kohen Amasaya Beis Agronos. Since the Kohen's doing work for you, you're giving him the Truma as a quid pro quo. That's not permitted. Okay? So therefore, the Yisrael can't make a condition of the sharecropping that part of what the Kohen gets is the Truma. That's forbidden. Okay? Says the Gemara, We're going to qualify this a little bit in a minute. Shaliva shaloch osir. Well, even if he says, I want to divide it up percentage wise, divide it up, so that there'll be part for me and part for you, even that's osir. Now, the Gemara qualifies. Kibla mi menu kederach hamakabli mutar. All this is only if they didn't have a normal agreement besides the Trumus and Maaseros. In other words, if they made a normal agreement, which is depending on what kind of location you live in, 33%, a quarter, a third, or a half of the field goes to the sharecropper. So if tacked on to that, the Yisroel, who's the owner, wants to give the coin to the Trumus and Maaseros because it's eight, then we don't have a problem. When is this problem? Vim lav. If as part of the quarter, the third, or the half, the Yisroel wants to give the Kohen the Truma Sumaisris, that's forbidden, because that's giving him his wages in Truma. Okay? Period. Vim lav aser. Ask the Gemara. Wait a minute. Going back to previously, we said if... we said before that Shali Shalach is Osir. Where do we see that? The line above, right? Shali Mutar, Shali Vishalach Osir, right? So we said that that's prohibited. I don't understand. Isn't that the way it should work? That's a percentage. In other words, based on your percentage, the maizes are yours. What's wrong with that statement? I would understand if you tried to make it different than the normal percentage, and then you tried to make a part and parcel of a special deal, then that would be usher. But here, he's supposed to get a percentage of the trumas and maizes, because that's how he's working, right? He's working on a percentage basis, a half, a quarter, or a third, right? So what's wrong with shali v'shaloch? This is the way to again. Doesn't he gonna get proportions? Why shali v'shaloch osur? Elochne. This is the way to read it. Shali. If the Yisrael says mine is mine, in other words, the trumas which grow in my field are mine, and my percentage are mine. I can do with them what I want. Shali. Shali v'shaloch. And your portion, in other words, the trumas and maaseros which are go from your portion, we're going to divide up, and I'm going to take part of that trumas and maaseros, and you're going to get to keep part of those trumas and maaseros. Im kibulin menu kederach hamakablin, if this is above and beyond a normal percentage deal, mutter, that's okay. Vim lav, and if not, it's also this prohibited. So the chiddush here. It's a minor chiddush, but the chiddush is, for some reason, the Yisrael wants part of the trumos and maisos which are coming from the Kohen's portion. I don't know why. Again, the chvesnish, well, why should want it? Again, maybe as some other Kohen he wants to give it to. That's to make such deals, however, it's impermissible if it becomes part and parcel of the percentage share issue which concerns the Kohen. Okay? In other words, of the quarter, of the third, and of the half. If the Kohen is getting the quarter, third, and half, and above that you want to start making special deals about the Truma, that you're entitled to do. But it must be above and beyond, not part and parcel of the percentages. Okay? That's basically what it boils down to. Period. New case. Yisrael Shekibel Sardem Yisrael. What about one Jew gets a field from another Jew, one Yisrael, right, not a coin of Levi, gets a field from another Yisrael, Amanashua Maitzus Shel Zeh, that with the condition that the Maitzus from both parts of the field should go to a certain Levi. Not to either the Yisraelim, to a Levi. So Reuven, the owner, says to Shimon, you can share a crop in my field. But you should know that I want the Trumas and Maaseros from our field to go to Levi, not to anybody else. Is that permissible or not? Osir, that's prohibited. Now it's interesting. Why is that prohibited? Because in this case, it looks like they're It's not 100% clear to me why it is this way, but it looks like they're making a monetary transaction or business out of the maestros. Since the maestros have become an issue of contention in the schirus, in the sharecropping agreement, in other words, I am demanding of you, the sharecropper, to give the maestros to so-and-so, so then already this is not considered to be a true giving of maestro. This is dealing with doing business with maestro. And doing business with maestro is prohibited. Okay? All right, it's not... Again, I'm not sure. It's somewhat ambiguous to me why it's considered to be business, but that's the issue here.
Well, Shimon is supposed to have free choice.
Shimon's supposed to have free choice.
He doesn't have free
you're
choice.
Depriving them. So you're making part of the sharecropping agreement that he must be compelled to give it. He doesn't have the... Okay, so I guess that explained it well. Okay. Shetlemani. However, if the owner says, I don't want you to give it to Levi, I want you to give it to me. Vet name Lizan, I'll give it. Mutter, that's okay. Says more, what? V'lo doi kad maiso? Isn't this the same case as the first? I'm Rabbi Ach, so two answers. And it goes to be a big machlokus here. I'm Rabbi Ach said, the first answer is, Inte rotze beneim. Ruvain, the owner, says to Shimon, look, I don't want to apply pressure on you. You're not required to do so. If you want, give me back the maestros, and I'll give it to Levi. And then he winks a couple of times. Right? Yeah, no, we can't refuse. But it's an offer. It's not part of the contract. Okay? That's Rabbi Acha's answer. Rabbi Yosi says another answer. Hard to take my mutter, that which it says permissible is kushakibla kidera chamakablin. When this amount, this miser thing is above and beyond the normal percentage. In other words, the owner says to the sharecropper, you'll get your third, your half, your quarter, but this is, normally you'd have to give misers on your third, your half, your quarter. Make you a deal. Take the miser, you get the miser above and beyond that, give it back to me and I'll give it to a Levi. All right, or give it to so-and-so Levi. Okay? So that's okay. It smells, but that doesn't matter. It's a legal loophole. Okay? So it says, Vehein dat omer also, what case is it per impermissible according to Rabbi Yosi? Bishaloki blame minik derakanagami, where this is part and parcel of the deal. There wasn't besides this any regular arrangement. Now, this machlokus is far more reaching than we think. That's what I was about to say. I said to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi's answer, which was the latter answer, the difference whether there was a normal contract besides this issue about the maestros or not, is going like Rabbi Yochanan. With Rabbi Acha's answer, which was the first answer, which is that there's no, he's not compelling him, he's just requesting of the sharecropper to direct the maestros back to so-and-so Levi. That's like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. What does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina say? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Omar, Odom Noisin Maaschoisa B'toivas Hano. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina holds, I have the right to determine who gets my maestros. I can sell that right. If that's the case, I have the right to sell that right. In other words, I can accept money. I have a large amount of maestros to give. I can accept money, as we'll see later on, for me to give the maestro to whomever you want me to give the maestro to. So since that's the case, since I have the right to accept money, that means that Tova Sanoa has a monetary value to her. So if that's the case, so if I demand of the sharecropper, I don't demand. If I make a contractual obligation of the sharecropper to give the Trumas of Maizos to Levi, so and so Levi, so then I'm depriving him of his Tova Sanoa. That I'm not allowed to do. What I am allowed to do is I'm allowed to request that he give it to somebody else. Again, if I make it part of the contract, I'm depriving him of his Tova Sanoa. That's forbidden. I can't deprive Shimon the sharecropper.
Why is that forbidden to deprive him of the Tova Sanoa?
I would have to pay him for it.
You're taking away his free choice.
Right, I can't make that part of a contract. It's like Masna Mashkosu Patera. Unless I pay him for it, I can't make him part of a contract. He has to be left with his free choice to give to whomever he pleases. It's his miser.
Where is his school? I think you're talking too democratic. So what's the problem? So I'm taking away sense of choice. Big deal.
Well, then again, because that's why it becomes a business with the Maeseres. If I take away his free choice and he's contractually obligated to give the Maeser to so-and-so, so then he's not being no-saying the Maeser. He's giving the Maeser as part and parcel of an agreement, which is which in essence was his rental or his sharecropping agreement. So
that's a step through the this is not...
No, but it is. I think so. In other words, if I tell you that you have to give your true... If I tell you, listen, you want to have a field for me, fine. I'll give you a field to sharecrop, but you have to give your trumas and maaseres to Yankel. Or to Levi, actually. You have to give your trumas and maaseres to Levi. So if you don't give your trumas and maaseres to Levi, so then you can't have the field. So then you're not being no say your trumas and maaseres to Levi, you're giving under duress and as an obligation, as a business deal. I mean duress, you know, coerced. But it's a business deal now. It's no longer to be in the sinas maaser to the Levi. That's what we're saying. It's not a case of poreh chovo. Okay, that's right. The poreh chovo, it's not. But still... And again, I don't know what level of parameter of Isser this is, doing business with Tuchumus and Maisers in this way. It's a Daraisa, the Rabbanan, it's not clear to me, I really don't know. But it's this is considered to be improper conduct with Tuchumus and Maisers. Okay? So to have me deprive my right of Tovas Hanoa is considered to be an improper use of Tuchumus and Maisers and reduces it to a business deal, and that's improper. Whereas if I say, I'm the owner, Reuven, I say to Shimon, listen, I'm not forcing you, but I'd like you to give it to the Levi so-and-so. So again, in that case, I'm not depriving the Tovus Hanoa. He can exercise his free will, right? And it may be unpleasant for him.
If you don't do it, you won't have the field.
Yeah, but you can't specify that. That's the point. You can't specify that. That might be implicit, but not explicit. Okay, that's what we owe Tovus Hanoa's moment. Okay, that's the Tovus Hanoa is a significant. There is Tovus Hanoa, meaning that there's value to the right to give by Trumas u'Maaseres. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Adam Mevi Maaseres b'Tovus Hanoa. Rabbi Yochanan says that there's no right, no God-given right to determine what to give your Trumas u'Maaseres. So since that's the case, I could even make it a contractual obligation. As long as I don't make it part and parcel of the actual Kabbalah, right? I can make a contractual obligation. You lose your right to determine to give it. You never had such a right to begin with. Tovus Hanoa is not mom, and you never had that right. You never lose it.
I don't think that's what you're saying.
Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Yeah. Okay, but the machlokas you do understand. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina holds that Tovus Hanoa is momon. Rabbi Yochanan holds Tovus Hanoa is not momon. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina holds that the issue is whether we're depriving the sharecropper of his Tovus Hanoa. That's what makes it a business deal. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we don't care if you're depriving him or not. Go ahead, deprive him. That's not a business deal. What I'm concerned with is, are you going to make it a part and parcel of his Kabbalah or not part and parcel of his Kabbalah? Okay? So you can deprive him of it, but you can't deprive it from him as part and parcel of his Kabbalah, because then it's like Kohen Maseya Beis Agronos. You're making the Trumas u'Maaseres part and parcel of the business deal back and forth, and that's not permitted. And maybe I'm still not making myself clear. What?
You're fine.
Yeah. Am I clear? You just don't like it, or are you doing it?
I understand exactly.
Okay. So, all right. To like it, I can't make you like it. So, it's not my responsibility. Says my time to Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina. What's the Gzeres HaKosim which we learned this out? Rabbi Yisrael Chanina learned out from the Pasuk of V'ichas Kadoshav, a person's Kachim, lo you. They are his. Now, Kachim doesn't belong to you. So what does it mean? It means you have the right to exercise. You can exercise the right to whom to give it. That's your Tovus Hanoa, which is Mavon.
Gzeres HaKosim,
right. Mave le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with this Pasuk? It means you can give it to whoever you want, but not that it's a monetary right which you have.
There is no spark.
It's quibbling.
It is quibbling. Yeah, it's quibbling, but we're quibbling over money. Right, according to Rabbi Yossi Rechina, Tova Sanoz Mammon. Low means you have a monetary ownership over the right of whom to give it. Rabbi Yochanan says you have no monetary ownership over that. All you have is free will to exercise to whom to give it. Okay? Yeah, okay, it's a quibble. But so, you know, it's a quibble, Chaz and Nafkamina. Okay? Says the Gemara, Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yossi Rechina, this following Mishnah seems to argue Rabbi Yossi Rechina, who says that there is Tova Sanoz Mammon. It says, Konam Kohanim Levim Nanimli, if a person takes an oath and forbids all Kohanim Levim to have any benefit from him, Yitlu Baal Korcho, they're allowed to take the Trumas of Maisos from that individual against his will. So according to Rabbi Yisrael, how can you do it? What about his Tova Sanoz? How can you take it against the guy's will? Says Gemara, nah, that's no proof. But the law, the Gemara resolved it. Boimir Eev Shilitain Matar Kalika is talking about a guy who refuses to give his Trumas and Maisos to any Kohen or Levi. If he's willing to give it to any Kohen or Levi, so we can't take it away from him against his will, because he says, I'm giving it to the Kohen or Levi in Tanzania. You know, he's right to do that. But what he cannot do is say, I'm not going to give it to any Kohen or Levi. At all. In that case, Kohanim Levim police force comes and extorts it from him. Okay? So it says that even according to Rabbi Yossi Rechina, obviously. Right? Teidel Choshukein, you should know this is true. Tzitzina, we learn Kohanim Elu, if the person said, these Kohanim Levim Elu Naninli, I don't want these Kohanim Levim to have any benefit from me, then those Kohanim Levim can't take it. Yilu Acherim, others would take it, not those Kohanim Levim. Masnisa Pliga Rabbi Yossi. We have another mission charges Rabbi Yochanan. What is it? Here it should be Omer. Omer Yisrael Yisrael. A Yisrael says to another Yisrael, Helach Selazu, here is a coin, Vitain Bechor Zeh, and give this firstborn calf, Leven Biti Kohen, to my grandson who's a Kohen. Right, Yisrael, whose daughter married a Kohen. The grandson is going to be a Kohen. So, I always had difficult why he doesn't want to give it to his son-in-law. There's always a, you know, obviously, we can give many answers. But he wants to give, he's paying off Yisrael, another Yisrael, to give his Bechor to his, to Reuven is paying Shimon, both of whom are Yisraelim, to give Shimon, that Shimon should give his Bechor to Reuven's grandson, who's a Kohen. Okay? Okay. So they answered this. So it's a Kach Rabbi Yochanan. Because you see explicitly, Tovas and Osworth Mammon, right? I can pay somebody to, you know, I have to pay somebody in order to get him to direct his Bechor to somebody, to my grandson. So you see explicitly, Tovas and Osworth Mammon. So Rabbi Yochanan gives an answer which I don't really understand. I mean, I can read it and understand the words, but it seems to be very lame. Pasal Rabbi Yochanan resolves this, Begoitza litno lishnaim kohanim. The owner of the Bechor really wanted to give it to two Kohanim, Uben Bito Echomem, one of which was the other Yisrael's grandson. He couldn't decide which. Vua Marhelech Sela Zu. So the grandfather says, let me help you make your mind. But he's not paying him for the Tova Sanoz. No, he's not paying him to direct his choice. He's trying to help him make up his mind to whom to give. Do you see that distinction? It's a very fine distinction. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says, according to Rabbi Yisrael, you're paying him your first Tova Sanoz, right? To whom he's going to give it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're giving him clarification money. Okay, that he should be able to make up his mind properly. Okay? So, Ruomer, he says, Hey, Selazu, take the Sela, Vitain Kulon, give everything, Leben Bito, to his grandson, Cohen, who's the Cohen. Boy Kumer Rabbi Zira. They asked him for Rabbi Zira. Bahada Cohen Li Yisrael. Ma. What if, can the Cohen himself pay Yisrael to give him the Trumas of Maisos or the Bechor or whatever it is? Coin himself. Can a coin go to Israel and say, your Tovus Hanoah is worth X amount of dollars, right? Here's X amount of dollars, give me the Bechor.
Sounds like he's buying the Bechor.
Yeah. Buying the option, right? Can he do that? What? Mother Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina Omar. What did Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina say in such a case? Would he allow this or not? Lagivun. Rabbi Zira didn't answer the question. Rabbi Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Acha Amar Hachin Amar Lo. No, Rabbi Zira did answer the question. This is what he said. Adaitid Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Yisro Chanina. According to Rabbi Yisro Chanina, currently so lomu aser. It is aser. The Kohen cannot buy the right from Yisro. But only why? Lo mivnei Marisayin is not because of Marisayin. It's because of Marisayin, not because of anything else. Improper. Looks improper. That the Kohen's buying from Yisro. Again, it's only buying the right, but it looks like he's buying the actual Bechor. Uf Rabbi Yochanan, if one could say that even Rabbi Yochanan, Isle Yisrael, Yisrael Oser, even though he doesn't hold of Tovus Hanoah, right? So the Chor Kohen Timit should be Mutter, right? So what if I give him a dollar? What difference does it make? I'm just helping him. It's not just a clarification of money, right? No, even Rabbi Yochanan saw it because of Marisayin. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan also saw it because of Marisayin. Omer Rabbi, it should be Rabbi Yossi Barbun. Rabbi Yossi Barbun said, "What do you? Tchilu kochim yeshkan. This is not just Marisayin. To pay for matonos is be mechal kochim. Makes the whole thing a racket, you know, Chicago alderman style. That's no good." Right? The Tomer Rabbi named Marisayin, calling Marisayin, it's much, much worse. Lod min ador. And furthermore, this can be derived from the apostle. It's from Pauline Bryson. The Tanya, we learned, Hakwani Valvian Messiah Bebet Sagronos. Kohanim who help out in the silo in order that at the end of the day they should take on the Trumas of Maitzeris. Ein lam, you cannot give them. Lo truma v'lo ma'aser, not truma nor ma'aser. Vimnasti, if you gave it to them, ha'rei zechilu desecrates the truma ma'aser. Shneimer says, v'lechalu es kochei b'nei Yisrael. They should not desecrate the sacred property of the Jews. V'hein mechalein oisam. And this is considered to be chilu. Yoisim ikan amru. More than this, they said. Trumas and any truma, if somebody takes a truma and gives it to a Kohen in this fashion, it's not the rice, obviously, but Mirabonan, we view it as if he never gave Truma. Umas Roysan, Eno Meiser, and his Meiser as if he never gave Meiser. Fekdeshon, and his Hektish, Eno Hektish. Valeyem Uemer, and concerning people who make such deals with Kohanim Levim, it says, Roshea, its head, B'shoichad Yishpotu will judge with bribery, the Kohanea B'mechir Yoru, and its Kohanim for a price with Paskin Shilus. And Amokah, maybe Elam Shosh Puranas, therefore Hashem brings upon them three punishments. Although, see, like it says, Lochain, therefore be Lochem, Tzion Tzodeh Techarash. The Tzion will be plowed under, and a couple of other punishments which are mentioned at Pasuk. Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yochanan. There's, getting back to Rabbi Yochanan Shita, Atova Sana in a moment. What about the following case? It says, I'm a Kaddish, if I marry a woman, by giving her truma, I'm Yisroel. I marry a woman by giving her trumos, maestros, and matonos, right, the Zerol Chaim and Keva, mechatos, the water to be used for paraduma, mevechatos, the ashes of paraduma, hagezu mekudeshes, she's mekudeshes, abis Yisroel, even though the Mekaddish, the groom, is Yisroel. What's difficult?
She can't use
it
for anything.
So what does she have in it only? What's she getting from him? Only Tova Sanoa. Yeah, we see she's married. What does she get from him? The right to give it to whichever coin she wants, which is obviously worth the pruta. So we see here clearly that Tova Sanoa's mama, because otherwise why would she be Mekudesh? Why would she marry? Zerol Chaim and Keva. Matos go, which go to a coin for a regular animal, which are the front zroa, l'chayayim, and keva. Okay? No, chulin. This is maton from chulin. From zvachim, it's chaz of a show. Okay? So name it, so it's difficult. What does he have here? Do you have a tovah sanoa? Pasalo. So the answer is talking about B'truma shenafla me'avim kohen. This is a grandson we were talking about a few lines ago. It's not the same grandson. On the contrary, here the grandfather is the kohen and the grandson is Yisrael. So there's a grandson, right? His mother inherited his grandfather had no male heirs, so his mother inherited all of his grandfather's property, and she married Yisrael, and he is his mother's heir. So therefore, he inherited truma from his grandfather's house. So therefore, he actually owns the truma. Hi, he can't eat it, and she can't eat it. That doesn't matter because she can sell it. Okay, it's not just Tova Sanoa here, which he has. He has actual ownership in the truma. This is important to know. Yisrael can own truma. He can buy and sell truma. He just can't eat it. And if it's a truma that he himself separated, then he doesn't own it. All he has there is the right of Tova Sanoa determining to him to give it. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Period, new case. Kohen Shemachah sold Yisrael. Kohen who sold the field to Yisrael. Varmeloni said to Yisrael, I'm not sure Meister Shali. I'm selling to you in the condition that all Meister which comes to this field goes back to me. I'm Meister Shalo. That works. The Meister goes back to the original owner, who's to the Kohen. Mao Shimkara Yimkara LeKohen. Let's give names here. Reuven Kohen sells his field to Shimon Yisrael. He makes a condition with Shimon Yisrael that all the Truma Samizer should go back to him. Can Reuven Kohen now sell his right in the field to the Truma Samizers to David Kohen? Do you have that case? He doesn't have the field anymore. He has a right to the Truma Samizers. Can he sell the right to the Truma Samizers? This is a very long-mission question.
Assuming the first right was legal.
Right, it was legal. William was allowed to retain that right. Can he sell that? You say, why not, right? You guys are wrong. Let's turn from the following case. By the way, I'm shocked by this Rishalmi too. It's amazing Rishalmi. The Shmini Minato, said, if I sell my maestros, the maestros of my field to you, lo asa klum. Why is it lo asa klum? Think earlier. Guys are thinking too lomdish. I can't sell my Meister. It doesn't exist yet. When is it called Meister? Afterwards, right? So I'm Moicha Meister Sadeh L'Chavir. If I want to sell you the Meisters of my field, whether I'm a Kohen or a Levi Yisrael, and whether we're talking about the Meister itself, no, it's not germane. I can't sell any of that. Why? Because right now, what is it? Davish L'Bolola. L'Asa Klum. You don't even, the grain is not even there yet.
It's futures.
It's futures, yeah. This is soy, this is wheat futures. But you know, oh yeah. But you know what, let's even say the grain is there. Let's say grain is there. You know what it's like? Rabbi Meir holds you can marry a shiksa. Remember that? Males, you can marry Shiksa because she's going to be Megayer if she intends to be Megayer. Chachamim argue. Chachamim say it's a Dover Shlobo Lola. Hi, she's around. Right now she's a Goy. Your case is parallel to Rabbi Meir. Okay? Right now it's Ayah Meiser. Hi, the grain is there, so what? It's like the Shiksa who tends to become Jewish. That doesn't work. Only works if you hold something and sell Dover Shlobo Lola. Assuming if I want to sell my shivcha's children to my friend, it doesn't work. Want to sell my animals, fetuses, to my friend, doesn't work. Want to sell the airspace in my ruin to my friend, Ella, what can I do? Mochelo, so I can sell my field to my friend, Umishaya lo ma'asosan retained the rights to the ma'aser. It's an interesting thing. Because then I retain a certain right in the field for the ma'aser to eventually produce. You know, I don't even know. Upon reflection, I don't know if the Yerushalmi holds that way. Maybe let me say the Yerushalmi holds like this. Why not? Yerushalmi holds I can't sell a Davar Shel Olam, but I can keep a Davar Shel Bololam. Is that clear? Yes. That was the deal he made. I can keep a Davar Shel Bololam. I can't sell a Davar Shel Bololam. I can keep it. And this probably is a riot in Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda doesn't say specifically there's an interesting Big Day Shesh on this topic. But the Noida Behuda says that a Davar Shel Bololam is a Chesaron Gemirus Das. So here, that makes sense. In other words, people don't, they can't deal with buying and selling things which don't exist yet. It's not for real. They don't have full das to do so. So therefore, one could draw a very, very logical dichotomy then between selling a Davar Shel Bololam and retaining a Davar Shel Bololam. It's not something which is negotiable commodity, but it is something which I can have the right can retain. And that's what the Yerushalmi here is saying. I can retain a Davar Shel Bololam, I cannot sell it. I like that shot. Okay. So in any event, so that's what it says here. Yeah. The building's already destroyed. You can't sell. We'll come to that. The one is going to expand on that. Ella Michael saw that what can I do? What I can do is self fulfill the Mishailo Masrosa and leave the Mises for myself. Michael Shivra, I can sell a Shivcha with Mishailo Vlad and retain the Vlad for myself. Michael Vaim, I can sell an Adam with Shiloh Gore, I can retain the Uber for myself. Michael Khorba, I can sell the, I can sell a ruin and retain the airspace for myself. Says, well, let's go back to the case before. You can't sell airspace. There's no such thing in halacha. If I look into, if I peeping Tom, I'm depriving you of the right to use your yard or your roof. Not the right to use the air. There's no airspace there.
Somebody has a property.
Yes.
Cannot build up all against that person's property.
That's different. No, you're not allowed to create to build up, then not because it's real, but because you can't make his property dark. But that's not because of airspace. It's because he wants to have windows or there's light, yeah. What bothers you? Airspace of rights doesn't exist in halacha. It's a modern invention. It's a modern invention. It doesn't exist in halacha.
That is the airspace.
No. I don't see why you say that. Right? Yeah, Tumba Kasbola. But the whole concept of selling the rights over your building now, which we have in modern law, doesn't exist here. I mean, that's what they're saying here. There's no Avir Chubasso, you can't sell. So it says, what was that mean, you can sell Avir Chubasso? Vechev Shalotam Nikor Avir Chubasso Chavero. It's air, you can't sell air. Tipoter Boimelo Kloshmin Archurba Azu Shatikna Lachavira. So it says an interesting thing. The way it would work is that you would say, take from the land. Tlosh doesn't mean, I don't, if I understand correctly, it doesn't mean take a piece of the korban with that, take some air which is attached to it. It means rather is that I'm giving you part to acquire a piece of this korba which is there, and retain the right to the air above it. So even that doesn't work. Okay. There is no concept of buying airspace, even piggyback on the actual property itself. Okay, so it says we're now, in other words, we're, it's not outlandish. Whoever has the property has the rights to everything above it. That's what it boils down to. I can't sell you, in other words, in modern build, modern terms, I can sell you the rights to build over my building. There's no such thing in halacha. I can let you build over my building, but I'm not selling you anything. Okay? So, says the Gemara, going back to the original question, Vikar, in our case, Karkel, in other words, with Reuven Cohen and David Cohen, Karkel in front of. Shomer lo, the land is in front of him. Well, it's actually, there's a kasha. The car, Karkel in front of Shomer lo, Klosh Mer Karkazeh, Sheitikna Echad Mea Sora Shebo. Here, yeah. Let me read that again now that I remember what it says. Vikar, in this case, Reuven Cohen sold to Shimon Yisrael the land, retaining the rights to the Maizrus. Now he wants to sell the rights of the Maizrus to David Cohen. So how's it going to work? Vikar here is Karkel Afanav. Does Reuven Cohen have any land, Shuomer Lo, that he could sell, say to David Cohen, Klosh min karka zeh, take, make a kinyan on this karka, shetik nechon min asor shebo, in order to acquire the one-tenth of it, in order to acquire the mitzvahs on it? There's no negotiable commodity here. Shimon himself, Reuven Cohen himself, could retain the rights of the mitzvahs, because that doesn't have to be a negotiable commodity. You can retain a dov shlobo lolam. But he has no mode of transfer by which to transfer that right to the mitzvah to David Cohen. He can't do that. What kinyan could he make with David Cohen to be mocked into David Cohen the right? It's like trying to be mocked the airspace. It's not, doesn't work. There's no way to be mocked it. It's a fascinating Yerushalmi, if you really think about it for a moment, that Yerushalmi says that I can retain a David Shabbalom and it's real, but I retain it. But there's no way I can transfer it. It's a right, which is absolutely non-transferable to anybody else. Okay? There's simply no way for me to be mocked into somebody. So retention is much stronger than haknah. Now, new case. Kohen Shemochar sold El Yisrael. A Kohen sold the field to Yisrael. Vamalei said to the Yisrael, I'm not sure Maiser Shali. I want the Maiser to be mine. That works. I'm Maiser Shaloi. You can retain a Dov Shal Bolam. However, the weakness of this situation means mace. What if the Kohen himself dies? Reuven Kohen dies. Ein lebana b'maisrus. His children don't have any right to the maisrus. Since retention is not valid ownership, upon his death it expires. No, unless he said li ulivni li v'liyoshai. He specified. You can specify it. Yesu b'maisrus, ulubana b'maisrus, uliyosha b'maisrus. In that case, he and his kids and his children have, and his heirs have it. Rabbi Yudin bar Sholem bought Kumid Rabbi Yesi. Akadum b'yorshim mitzur mita shein mita devar Torah. Till now, you spoke about yorshim mitzur d'oraisa. But you should know, afilu b'yorshim shein devar Torah, li'im pas yorshim mitzur not d'oraisa, one of which, according to the Stipler's son, which is the Rambam Shita, is that a husband who inherits his wife. Husband inheriting his wife is not a deraisa to the Rabbanon, and there too it applies that the husband inherits the right to the Maisrus, which his wife might have once had in the field. Okay? Says more, shall you call Maisrus Shalom? What if the guy, Reuven Cohen, made a condition with Shimon Yisrael? The Maisrus should be his. Calls Manchu Lefonav as long as Shimon Yisrael owns the field. So, in that case, calls Manchu Lefonav as long as it's in front of Shimon Yisrael, as long as he owns the field, all the Maisrus go to Reuven Cohen. Mochro Liache, what if Shimon Cohen now sells the, Shimon Yisrael sells the field to another Yisrael, Elam Maisrus. Tough. Right, Reuven Cohen has any more right in the rights. Chosav Lachamim, complicated case. Reuven Cohen sold it to Shimon Yisrael, retained the Meisers. Shimon Yisrael sold it now to Levi Yisrael. Okay? Levi Yisrael doesn't have to give the Meisers to Reuven Cohen. Now, Levi Yisrael sells the land back to Shimon Yisrael. Does the original deal kick back in? What? Okay, we'll see. It's a new contract, all right? Let's see. It's going to be a machlokas. What? Yeah, of course. Chazav Lokach Hemedi took it back. Tani Rabbi Chia says, "Ein Luma Meisters," like you said. It's a new deal. Rabbi Yoshe said, "Yesh Luma Meisters." Rabbi Yoshe says, "No, he gets the Meisters." Asyun Ilin Plukta. This machlokas is going like Ilin Plukta, like Palgusa, like another machlokas. Tetzia Tamon, we learned in Ksuvas. Shamagarish is Ishto. Shamagarish is just somebody divorces the wife, et Sarisho. So he divorces the wife, Bechzir, and takes her back. Amnas Ksuva Sarisho and Bechzir. She gets back the Ksuva which she originally had. That's for sure. Okay? That's, I guess, it's my base. However, what about the dowry besides that, the Tosefes Ksuva? Tan Rabbi Chana Kumi Rabbi Lo. Rabbi Chana said in front of your law, train Amoroin. There were two Amoroin who argued about this. Chad Amar once said, Luxuva, she goes back to original Luxuva, Avalotoim, but not the additional Tanai Ksuva. Above and beyond. The Charona Amar, which is the additional Tosefes you give a woman when you marry her. The Charona Amar, the other one says, Bain Luxuva, Bain Litzanoin. She goes back both to original Ksuva, whatever Zuza was, and the additional amount above that. So Luchaira, here the gear's a little bit messed up in a couple of words. Madamar Luxuva, Lolitznoim. He who says that she goes back to original Ksuva, but not to original Tznoin, the additional amount. So he'll hold Ain Lobemaisrus. Right? Change the word Yesh to Ain. He holds that, you don't go back to the original deal. It's like you don't go back to the original type because souvenirs, you don't go original.
She's not a Masuva.
What?
She's a second marriage for her.
You're consistent with what you're saying over here. But the other perspective is he married her Masuva way back when. So whatever love he had for his Masuva, whatever endearment she had then, should continue now as well. Okay? I know you don't see that slide because you're biased. So, okay. You're a good thing. You're good company, right? Mother of Ben Luxuva, the time yields that she goes back both to original Ksuva and to original time. We'll hold here Yesh Lobin Maestros, right? That he does go back to the same deal with Maestros. Vatani, let's ask a question like this. Kibel saw the Mikohenes. You bought a field, you sharecropped a field from a Kohenis. The Kohenis owns the field. She is the daughter of a Kohen. She's a Kohenis. A single one. Ha-Maiser Shelo. So she makes the deal that she wants to keep the Maisers. Nisa sees, so what if she then marries Yisrael? Chokim be-Maisers. In that case, so of course, so she has no greater right on the Maisers. So then, the Maisers can divide her percentage like any Yisrael to Yisrael field. Nisarim lo nisgarsho. What if she gets widowed or divorced and she becomes a Kohenis again? Chazal Tchilos, she goes back to the original deal. So these guys was love Dafka, I think. Because Kohenis was a Grusha, can't eat Truma. Okay, so I don't know. It's only Kohenis from Yisarmala. They're specifically referring to if she was widowed. So in any event, Yisarmala goes Gasha, Chazal Tchilos. So right against Dr. Spindel? Right? Why it's not the same? The Gemara is going to say it's not the same. But you understand why it's a riot against you, right? Because here, she goes back to the original deal. This one, it's not really the same case. When Shimon Yisrael sold to Levi Yisrael, that obliterated the original deal, right? Even if Shimon Yisrael buys it back. Here, she just sharecropped it out, right?
I was
going to
say that she goes back to her original status.
Yeah, but it's not her in this case. But
she buys back the land.
Yeah.
She's not really going back to her original status.
It's a new thing, right. Yeah.
It's a new deal. The marriage is a new marriage when she gets remarried.
No, which gets divorced or single. Come singles again.
No, I mean when he marries her the second time.
No, here it's different.
Not this case, the case before.
Okay, what case before?
Where he marries her, divorces her.
Yeah, yeah, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
here she goes back to her status.
She's reverting to a status. All right, maybe one could say. You're wanted. Is there an alarm? You have an alarm? Okay. In any event, so the Gemara's answer is somewhat different. The Gemara's answer depends what kind of agreement. With the Mechira, the original deal is obliterated. Here she was Mekabel. Here it's a sharecropping deal, so the girl just reverts when she gets widowed or divorced. Vatani Rabbi Chia Machra. Didn't Rabbi Chia say Machra? That this is, she even goes back to the original deal when she sold it. Amar Shubar Abdimikhet Tamon Yotza Mirshushneim. Now, in our deal, in other words, when Shimon Yisrael sold to Levi Yisrael, so then the field was no longer any affinity neither to the Kohen, neither to Reuven Kohen, nor to Shimon Yisrael. That's it. There no longer is any affinity. All the original antecedents are gone. They're gone. And forever. Now Shimon Yisrael buys it back from Levi Yisrael. That's a new thing, a new start. A fresh start. But here by the Kohenes, Yotzas Mirshus Moicher, Yotzas Mirshus Lokeach. Here by the Kohenes, it left the Rishus of the seller, of the woman. But it didn't lose the Rishus of the buyer, meaning that it was never given to a third party. It was always within the two parties between whom the original deal was struck. It's true that her status changed in the interim, but that was a temporary thing, and besides that, it never left those two parties between whom the deal was struck originally, and therefore it can revert later on back to the original deal. Okay? Period. New case. Except those two. In other words, where it went, it was always stayed between the Kohenes and the buyer with whom she made the deal. In the middle, the Kohenes became unfit for the contract. But since it was still in the same buyer's hands, so when she becomes fit again for the contract to reapply, so then she goes back to the original status. However, in the case over there, the case we are talking about, when it goes to Levi Yisrael, when he buys it, so then the entire relationship between Reuven Cohen and Shimon Yisrael is obliterated forever, because it already left their domain and went to a third party. Okay? Kohen Shemach sold to Yisrael. A Kohen who sold the field to Yisrael. Var Maloni said, Amanashu Amaiser Shalo Arba V'chameish Shonim. The Kohen sells the field to Yisrael and says, I want the Maisers to be mine for 4 or 5 years. A limited time. Yochul Limchos Biyodo. The Kohen who sold to Yisrael has certain rights over the field. And he can shalolita kerem, and he can limit what Yisrael bought plants there. He can say, I don't want you to plant the vineyard. Shalozor Issa said, I certainly don't want you to plant it with paint bushes which grow paint. Shalososo kusnei kinim, or not to make it a field for growing reeds. I want specifically food there, and food from which I'm going to be able to get the trumas of maizers. A care. Wrong. Really? How do you know if somebody tried to break in? They're in the parking lot here? Back. Okay, but the alarm didn't go off? Okay. All right. Now, let's do this again. Coin Shemal Sod Yisro. A coin who sold the field to Yisro. Armoli said, I'm not sure Meister Shalom. I want to retain the rights of the Meisters. Arba Chamishari for 4 or 5 years. Yahu Limchas Biyado, so he can protest the buyer, that the buyer Shlolita Karim cannot plant a vineyard there. Why? Because the buyer plants a vineyard for the first 3 years, it's going to be Orla. and then he'll lose 3 years of the Truma Samaisa, which he could have gotten. So Lazar East is, he can protest that he shouldn't grow paint bushes in the field, because from paint bushes no Truma Samaisa. You just get paint. So Lasosa stay kinim, not to make it a field of reeds, because from reeds you don't get Truma Samaisa. However, if the coin said, I want to retain the Truma Samaisa for 4 or 5 years. Shalom, if it said, I want to retain the Truma Samaisa forever, he doesn't have that kind of rights. He can't have rights forever to impede the buyer from planting there what he wants. He can't say, they should be able to plant the vineyard there. Shalom, they should be allowed to plant paint there. Shalom, so it's a snake in him, they should be able to plant reeds there. Okay, as uvdo kumi rabacha bar law, it's a case which came taka. A kohen so sold the field to Yisrael. He said, "I want to retain the Truma Samaisa forever." Well, the Yisrael said, "You know what? I'm going to plant reeds there. You plant reeds." So what did the what was the psak? There's no Truma Samaisa. So what did he paskin? Rabbi Yachar law paskin the chive mitan le required the buyer the Yisrael to give the coin, 10% of the reeds. So he couldn't, there's no Truma Samaisa, but 10% of the reeds he could make him give. Okay? So that was the Lu Truma Samaisa. Yisrael Shemachasar the coin. Yisrael sold the field to coin. Vamali said, I'm not sure a Maisa Shli Arbu Chamishari, I want the Maisa to be mine for 4 or 5 years. Mutar, that's okay. I'm an Olam Usser. However, if the Yisrael, now, why does Yisrael want the Truma Samaisa? Again, some Mishugas. He wants to do something to them. He has a grandson who's a Kohen Echveis. But he wants the Samaisa for 4 or 5 years. That's he's allowed to do. Olam, but if Yisrael says the Kohen, I'm selling you the field. I want to get the Truma Samaisa from here forever. That's Usser. Why? Interesting Svara. Shane Kohen, Osa Kohen. Because this would create an intolerable situation. That the Kohen would be making the Yisrael a Kohen. He'd be always having to give Truma Samaisa to Yisrael. That's preposterous. That's the antithesis of what the Torah demanded. So it's like Masna Mashkosa B'Torah. Though it's to make a temporary 4 or 5 year range in this case, that's all right. But that should permanently be like this, that forever and ever the Kohen has to give Yisrael Truma Samaisa. That's preposterous. We can't allow such a thing. It's just beyond the pale of reason. Okay? Kohen Shemachar sold to Yisrael. A Kohen who sold the field to Yisrael. Ramalai said, I'm not sure a Meister Shocha. Arba Chamesh Shani. A Kohen sold the field to Yisrael. And he said to the Yisrael who's buying it, I'll tell you what, I'll provide you with the Meister 4 or 5 years also. That's forbidden. Why? Hachatar Mar Mutter. In the previous case, you said it's permissible. A Yisrael can demand 4 or 5 years of the Truma Samaisa of a field he's selling to a Kohen. But you're saying the Kohen cannot tell Yisrael, you keep it for 4 or 5 years. What's the difference? So it's more, very simple difference. The Yisrael says to the Kohen, I want the Truma Samaisa for 4 or 5 years. The Truma Samaisa are in whose hands? The Kohen's. The Kohen can acquiesce to that agreement. You say, okay, for the next 4 or 5 years, the Truma Samaisa, which I could have kept, or given to any other Kohen levy at my discretion, I'll give them to you. Fine. That works. However, but in the second case, the Kohen says to Israel, you know what, for the next 4 or 5 years, you keep the Truma Samaisa in the field. The Kohen doesn't own the Truma Samaisa. He doesn't have a right to tell Israel to keep it the next 4 or 5 years. The Shevet of Kohanim owns them. The tribe. If anything, but not this particular Kohen. He has no right on his own to be Meichel for the entire tribe. Therefore, he can't tell the guy, here, keep them next 4 or 5 years. That's not his right. Okay? New Mishnah. Mahalach Gimel. Yisrael Shekibel will go for another 5-10 minutes. Yisrael Shekibel mi Kohen, umi Levi. Yisrael received from a Kohen and Levi a field. Hamaisus to buy, and the Maisa goes to the owner. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, in other words, in this case, the Yisrael says to the Kohen Levi is the owner, says, we want the Truma Samaisa. It's our field. Your sharecropper, give it to us. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, very interesting derivation of this. He says, Akartani Shekibel Sadim Yerushalmi. Somebody lives in the hinterlands, receives a field from Yerushalmi. Meister Shani show Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, I want to keep the Meister Shani. Because I'm Yerushalmi, I can eat Meister Shani. I want to keep the Meister Shani from the field. You give it back to me. You're the sharecropper. Chachorim, that deal doesn't work. Because you're the owner has no more inherent right to the Meister Shani than the sharecropper. Because the kartoni, the sharecropper, who lives in the hinterlands, literally in the Kiryot, in the other cities, can go and eat in Yerushalayim as well. So therefore, he can't make the owner cannot make this demand the sharecropper. According to logic, Rabbi Shmuel, ilu kohen tame. So ask the one, Rabbi Shmuel, how far is he going to take this? What about if a kohen tame was a partner or sharecropper, imator? Shemei chokim b'maisrus. Can the kohen who's Torah say to the kohen who's tame, I want the maisrus because you can't eat them anyway? Does it go to that extent? No, says more. Taman yochul lemochul lekohen tor. There, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees the kohen tame can't make such an impose such a condition because the kohen tor can't impose such a condition because the kohen tame will say, fine, it's true I can't keep him, but I'll sell him to a kohen who's tor. Abraham Hocha, however, here it should be the next word should be tzorich. Tzorich hakartoni laos lechul bishloim. Here, the person from outside Yerushalayim will not want to take the fruit of Yerushalayim. It's too much of a hassle. So therefore, on that side, it's clear to us that he's willing to acquiesce. And he's perfectly fine with this condition that the Trumas of Meister should go to whom? Should go to the owner of the field who is Yerushalayim. Okay? The Trumas of the Meister Shani, I should say. All right. Halacha down. Hamakav is Eser Shem. We haven't done two blot yet, have we? Not yet. Hamakav... Yeah, Hamakaba Zaysim L'Shemen. Somebody received oil for to make olives to make oil. So this is like sharecropping. We're not sharecropping the field; we're sharecropping in the olive the oil making process. Hamakaba Zaysim L'Shemen. You receive olives to make oil. You're a sharecrop, but I'm not sure what you call that. You're a contract, right? Kishem Shechokim Mechulin, just like they divide up the chulin, right? They're going to divide up the oil which is produced. Some percentage will go to the owner of the olives, and the other percentage will go to the presser. Kachokim Truma, so do they divide up in Truma. Rabbi Domer, Yisrael Shekiv El Miko, Enu Mi Levi. Rabbi Yudah says, if Yisrael received olives from a coin of Levi, Zaysim L'Shemen, the olives to make oil, L'mach Tischar, then he's going to get half of the proceeds, Hamaisus the Bailim. The coin of Levi, who's the owner, can retain the right to the Maisus on the entire stock of olives. Rabbi Huda says, more of it, Zaysim Kakarka. He says, Zaysim are like land. It's like by land, like we said in the previous Mishnah. If a coin of Levi sharecrops out to Israel, the coin of Levi can retain the rights to the Trumas of Maisus. So, too, if a coin of Levi gives contracts out to the olives, to the contract, to the presser, he can retain the rights of Trumas and Rises. The Rabboni Luadi Zeseke Karka. Rabbanan, do not give olives the same parameter as land. They say olives are different. By olives, the coin of Levi, even if they own the olives, cannot impose this condition on the contractor for reasons which are not 100% clear, at least as of yet. Me'ata, if you're going to say that that's the case, the Rabbi Yehuda doesn't draw a distinction between land and produce. In Yisbar, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer. If Rabbi Yehuda is like Rabbi Eliezer, who says the opposite case, that a coin levy who sharecrops the field from Yisrael owner, the mices belong to them. So again, Rabbi Lezer, the coin levy are the sharecroppers. They get the Trumas of Maisus. Shamanas came both because they came with that expectation. Hach here too, Koyin v'Levi should keep. Shamanas came both. V'achi Koyin v'Levi should keep Lusada mi Yisrael haMaisus shalohen. It's the word sada is extraneous here. It should be Hachi Koyim V'Levi Shekiblu Mi'Yisrael HaMaitzah Sholem. It's in our Mishnah also, we should say that a Koyim Levi received the olives from a Yisrael. In other words, the Koyim Levi, the contractors, they should get to keep the Maises on the entire thing. Shamanas came both. In other words, if we make land, olives reflect the Allah by land, then according to Rabbi, not only should reflect the Allah of land where a Koyim Levi contracts out the work to somebody else, but it should reflect the Allah of land also where the Koyim and Levi are the contractors. That would make it reflexive and logical. Okay? Parasu Shekoyim, now if that's the case, also, we have the following, it's really a braisa. Parasu Shekoyim tries to suma it to Yisrael. A Kohen had a cow. This cow was contracted out to Yisrael, who was raising it. So the halacha is they get to split the profits from the cow. The Yod of Bechor. Now this cow, which is contracted out to Yisrael, gave birth to Bechor. So Rabbi Yehuda, following the Shita, says, HaBechor LeKohen, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It's understood that if there's a Bechor, it's going to go to the Kohen, just like our Mishnah, it's understood that the Maaser will go to the Kohen, who's the owner of the olives. So here it's understood that the Bechor will go to the Kohen, who's the owner of the cow, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Chachomi Omrim, consistent with their Shita over here, and Bechor LeShneihem, they have to divide up the Bechor. Omrim Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi said, don't you agree with me by land that there the Kohen and Levi who share Rabbat Yisrael can retain the entire Trumus of Maestros? What's the difference over here? And here we finally come to the distinction. I'll tell you why. The field always belongs to the Kohen. The sharecropper never actually gets rights to the field. All he gets is the right to work it. So therefore, the Kohen Levi can retain the rights to the Trumas and Maisos of the field. However, here, Vapara Gufa Lishneyam, the para, when you give a para to a contractor to raise, he gets ownership rights in it. When you give olives out to a presser to press, he gets ownership rights in them. And therefore, this same arrangement, which the Kohen or Levi can demand in a sharecropping agreement, they cannot demand in a contractor agreement. Right, because the Kenyan payers of the Parah and of the Zaysim is like a Kenyan Guf. It's supposed to buy the land, that's right. So says the Gemara, after point, my Guf of the Kohen, we agree with you. If the Parah still was holy and solely owned by the Kohen, Bechor LeKohen, the Bechor would belong to the Kohen by himself. The Tani came, we learned this in a price, so Hasom Bachrayus Shenayim. If you're both contracting out your cow, so that belongs to both of them, both the owner and the contractor. Now the next one should be Asocher. If you rent out your cow, you're not contracting it, you're renting it, then Bachrayus and Osi, then it remains the responsibility of the owner, and therefore if the Kohen contracts out his cow to somebody else to raise it, a professional shepherd, then the Bechor which is born is split 50-50. If the Kohen, however, rented out his cow to somebody else, then the proceeds, then the Bechor which is born goes to the Kohen in its entirety, because there's no Kenyan for the shepherd has no inherent kinyan in it. He just is renting it out. Okay, it's the difference between sham, meaning contracting, and renting. Okay, kohen shlosim olos Yisrael. Now going along further on these lines, a kohen which gave money to Yisrael ligach lo bohen peros to buy with it fruit lemach tischar. And they're going to sell the fruit and divide up the proceeds. Amar lo, so he said to him, the Kohen said, Hosiru p'chapachsu, if there's gain or loss, if the fruit appreciates or depreciates in value, shali, I'll suffer the loss. V'maisu shalcha, you take the maisers, okay? No, it's part and parcel of your payment for dealing with the fruits. You, the Yisrael, take the maizers. Mutter, that's okay. So, fine, we agree. That deal is acceptable. That's partial. What about the following case? Yisrael shenasa mos l'kohen. Yisrael gave money to a kohen. Liach lo bo'en peiros l'machtzis schar. The same deal, but in reverse. That the kohen should buy fruit. Amar lo, Yisrael says, if they go up or down in value, surely I'll suffer the loss or get the gain. You take the meiser. You, the kohen, who's working with the fruit. If besides giving him the truman meiser, I give him also wages, that's mutter. If you love, it's not. It's also why, because I'm giving him his truma as part and parcel of his wages. That's like koin himseya bebeis agronos. For his doing the work on giving truma, that's forbidden. Okay? Yisrael shea mocher zeisim b'shishim luk tevuli. Yisrael was selling olives in a measure of 60 luk, and they were tevel. Amar lo. So he gave them to a koin. The koin wants to buy them. The koin says, give them to me now. Same leave. I need those in the ho-. He's borrowing them. He's not really buying them. So he says, give them to me, and I'll give you back 60 luk, which are not tevel, from which the truma and meiser have been taken off already. Mutter. It's okay. Why? Because it's not ribbis. Why it's not ribbis? Because the kohen can eat all 60 luk. Why can the kohen eat all 60 luk? Because he's a kohen. So he can eat truma, he can eat meiser, he can eat everything. So therefore, it's not a problem of ribbis, because 60 luk of tevel for a kohen is 60 luk of edible food. So that's not ribbis. He can take the 60 and give back 60. Even the 60 he's giving back are not tevel, but rather fixed up. However, that's mutter. Shishim luk tvulim vani vad chokim esa meisres. If I take 60 lug of tevel, however, from you, and I'm going to give you back half stuff which is meiser, and half stuff which is not meiser, meaning you will divide and sponsor the meisers on the way, when I give it back to you, that's also. So I asked him, what's the difference? Could do you have like kule mutter? If to give him all metukon is good, so could do you have like pagos? If you give him only half metukon, it's bad? That's against logic. It's counterintuitive. Rabbi Yisrael said no. You're right. Hypothetically, it should be the same case. In the same case, there's a factor missing, which is more a variable missing, which Gemara forgot to throw in. That in the end, he's saying, I'll give you half of it fixed up because you'll give me added time before I have to give it back to you. In other words, I'll do the tircha of fixing up half of it if you give me extra time to pay you back. That's also, because what's that? That's ribbis. I'm willing to do work for you giving me extra time. V'tanik y'lunas abraisa, imhoye lo marviach lo. If the Yisrael says, I'll give it to you for a longer time, if you give me back fixed up as opposed to tevel, that's also mishum ribbis. Hey, it's ribbis, mishum bizayin kachim, and also bizayin of trumas from meisers, that you're making deals here based on whether trumas from meisers are taken off or not. Okay, how much further do we have to do in order to do two blot? 4 or 5 lines? Okay, let's do 4 or 5 lines. Beisharim loyim korodem ezeisav. I really want to finish by next Wednesday. Beisharim loyim korodem ezeisav elul chaver. You're only allowed to sell your olives to a chaver, meaning to somebody who's going to be makbid on tahara. Ubeisil omrim aflu meiser. As long as he's makbid on meiser, I don't care if it's makbid on tahara. Beitznuei beisil. However, the people who are pious. Literally, tznuei means people who are humble, but here it means pious. Pious and Beisil, are you knocking to Beishamai? They conduct themselves like Beishamai and only sell to people who they were sure be makbid on Tahara. Rabbi Yochanan said, Tam de Beisil, what's the logic of Beisil? Now, here the Gears is messed up again. Not yet, but in a minute. Derech me'odim lochos oseim atunim. People eat their zeisim dry. Atunim means dry. So they're never mukshel kabel tumor. Now here's the Gra that he said, what? The chiderach when the other locals are saying atunim, the people eat their olives dry, get out of here. Everybody moistens their olives before they eat them. Ella, what's the pshat? Aide Ela. Basil found an excuse to be macho this. Hi, it's a very, very remote excuse, because most people don't eat their olives dry. But since there's, it's possible to eat the olives dry, so Basil relied on that and we're macho it. Basil Kadaito, this is similar to Basil Sheet in other places. The Tanya we learned, Lo Yimka Lo Poracho Reshet Bishvias. You're not allowed to sell so somebody a plowing cow during Shemitah. Why? Because what's he going to use it for? He's going to plow with it. Basil Matirin. Basil is Matirin. But if they Shechon Lashachta, because maybe he's going to shecht it. And here too, Forche de Barnash, make us turdy day. Is a person going to shecht this plowing cow? How unheard of. Again, Aide Ilah. That was they found an excuse in order to allow it. True remote, but sufficient to allow it. Vishavin, both of them agree, Shumokhla Shibolin Lisaso. Even Shabbat concedes you can sell so he's not been on Tara grain for his dough. Hi, Avo Bishani Odea, Shane also Sobatara. Hi, you know, does not mock me on Tara, but it's much more prevalent that people eat dry grain. Because people toast grain, cereal. They make toasted grain cereal, so therefore even Beit Shammai concede that there's much more of a possibility that it won't be Mukshar L'Kabel Tuma. Tani, but we learned as a result, Shavin, everybody agrees, Shem Mochin Godish Shel Chitin, you can't sell a pile of grain, which is already Mukshar L'Kabel Tuma, Vavit Shanovim, and a basket of grapes, which is already also Mukshar L'Kabel Tuma, because they're moist, Umaton Jensen, basket of olives, which is also moist, Elami Chaver, only except the son of the Chaver, vis-a-vis Meisters, and Lemishir there, Shoso Batara, and you know he's going to make a Batara. Okay? So in that case, you have to be Makbit. Alright, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this next week. He lives very nearby. Yeah.